"By my faith," said Sir Lancelot, "in that pavilion will I lodge all this night." And so there he lit down and tied his horse to the pavilion, and there he unarmed him, and there he found a bed and laid him therein and fell asleep sadly. Sadly meaning soundly. Page 201, chapter 5. How a knight found Sir Lancelot lying in his leman's bed, and how Sir Lancelot fought with the knight. Then within an hour, there came the knight to whom the pavilion ought meaning belonged, and he weened that his leman had lain in that bed, and so he laid him down beside Sir Lancelot, and took him in his arms and began to kiss him. And when Sir Lancelot felt a rough beard kissing him, he start out of the bed lightly, and the other knight after him, and either of them gat their swords in their hands, and out at the pavilion door went the knight of the pavilion, and Sir Lancelot followed him, and there by a little slake meaning ravine, Sir Lancelot wounded him sore nigh unto the death. And then he yielded him unto Sir Lancelot, and so he granted him, so that he would tell him why he came into the bed. "Sir," said the knight, "the pavilion is mine own, and there this night I had assigned my lady to have slept with me, and now I am likely to die of this wound." "That me repented," said Lancelot, "of your hurt, but I was adread of treason, for I was late beguiled, and therefore come on your way into your pavilion and take your rest, and as I suppose I shall staunch your blood." And so they went both into the pavilion, and anon Sir Lancelot staunched his blood. Therewithal came the knight's lady, that was a passing fair lady, and when she espied that her lord Belias was sore wounded, she cried out on Sir Lancelot, and made great dole out of measure. "Peace, my lady and my love," said Belias, "for this knight is a good man and a knight adventurous." And there he told her all the cause how he was wounded. "And when that I yielded me unto him, he left me goodly, and hath staunched my blood." "Sir," said the lady, "I require thee tell me what knight ye be, and what is your name?" Page 202. "Fair lady," he said, "my name is Sir Lancelot du Lake." "So methought ever by your speech," said the lady, "for I have seen you oft or this, and I know you better than ye ween. But now, and ye would promise me of your courtesy, for the harms that ye have done to me and to my lord Belias, that when he cometh unto Arthur's court for to cause him to be made knight of the Round Table, for he is a passing good man of arms, and a mighty lord of lands, but many out isles." "Of many out isles." "Fair lady," said Sir Lancelot, "let him come unto the court the next high feast, and look that ye come with him, and I shall do my power, and ye prove you doughty of your hands, that ye shall have your desire." So thus within a while as they talk the night passed, and the day shone, and then Sir Lancelot armed him, and took his horse, and they taught him to the abbey, and thither he rode within the space of 2 hours. Chapter 6, How Sir Lancelot was received to King Bagdemagus's daughter, and he made his complaint to her father. As soon as Sir Lancelot came within the abbey yard, the daughter of King Bagdemagus heard a great horse go on the pavement, and then she arose and yede unto a window, and there she saw Sir Lancelot, and anon she made men fast to take his horse from him, and let lead him into a stable, and himself was led into a fair chamber, and unarmed him, and the lady sent him a long gown, and anon she came herself. And then she made Lancelot passing good cheer, and she said he was the knight in the world was most welcome to her. Then in all haste she sent for her father Bagdemagus, that was within 12 mile of that abbey, and afore even he came with a fair fellowship of knights with him. And when the king was a lit off his horse, he yode straight unto Sir Lancelot's chamber, and there he found his daughter, and then the king embraced Sir Lancelot in his arms, and either made other good cheer. Page 203. Anon Sir Lancelot made his complaint unto the king how he was betrayed, and how his brother Sir Lionel was departed from him, he nist meaning did not know, not where, and how his daughter had delivered him out of prison. Therefore, while I live, I shall do her service and all her kindred. Then am I sure of your help, said the king, on Tuesday next coming. Yea, sir, said Sir Lancelot, I shall not fail you, for so I have promised my lady your daughter. But, sir, what knights be they of my lord Arthur's that were with the king of Northgales? And the king said, it was Sir Mador de la Porte, and Sir Mordred, and Sir Gahalatin, that all forfared my knights, for against them three I nor my knights might bear no strength. Sir, said Sir Lancelot, as I hear say that the tournament shall be here within this 3 mile of this abbey, ye shall send unto me three knights of yours, such as ye trust, and look that the three knights have all white shields, and I also, and no painture on the shields, and we four will come out of a little wood in midst of both parties, and we shall fall in the front of our enemies, and grieve them that we may, and thus shall I not be known what knight I am. So they took their rest that night, and this was on the Sunday. And so the king departed and sent unto Sir Lancelot three knights with the four white shields. And on the Tuesday they lodged them in a little leaved wood beside there their tournament should be. And there were scaffolds and holds, holds meaning windows, that lords and ladies might behold and to give the prize. Then came into the field the king of Northgales with 80 helms, and then the three knights of Arthur's stood by themselves. Then came into the field King Bagdemagus with 40 of helms, and then they feutred their spears, and came together with a great dash, and there were slain of knights at the first recounter 12 of King Bagdemagus's party, and 6 of the king of Northgales' party, and King Bagdemagus's party was far set aback.
Page 204. Chapter 7. How Sir Lancelot behaved in a tournament, and how he met with Sir Turquine leading Sir Gaheris. With that came Sir Lancelot du Lake, and he thrust in with his spear in the thickest of the press, and there he smote down with one spear 5 knights, and of 4 of them he brake their backs. And in that throng he smote down the king of Northgales, and brake his thigh in that fall. All this doing of Sir Lancelot saw the 3 knights of Arthur's. "Yonder is a shrewd guest," said Sir Mador de la Porte, "therefore have here once at him." Reader's note. There's a footnote after the word shrewd. The footnote reads, "Shrewd, mischievous." Return to text. So they encountered, and Sir Lancelot bare him down, horse and man, so that his shoulder went out of lith. "Now befalleth it to me to joust," said Mordred, "for Sir Mador hath a sore fall." Sir Lancelot was ware of him, and gat a great spear in his hand, and met him, and Sir Mordred brake a spear upon him, and Sir Lancelot gave him such a buffet that the arson of his saddle brake. Reader's note. There's a footnote at the word arson. Arson, saddle bow. Return to text. And so he flew over his horse's tail, that his helm butted into the earth a foot and more, that nigh his neck was broken, and there he lay long in a swoon. Then came in Sir Galantine, with a great spear, and Lancelot against him, with all their strength that they might drive, that both their spears to braced, even to their hands, and then they flung out with their swords, and gave many a grim stroke. Then was Sir Lancelot wroth out of measure, and then he smote Sir Galantine on the helm, that his nose brassed out on blood, and ears and mouth both, and therewith his head hung low, and therewith his horse ran away with him, and he fell down to the earth. Page 205. Anon therewithal Sir Lancelot gat a great spear in his hand, and ever that great spear brake, he bare down to the earth 16 knights, some horse and man, and some the man and not the horse, and there was none but that he hit surely, he bare none arms that day. And then he gat another great spear, and smote down 12 knights, and the most part of them never throve after. And then the knights of the king of Northgales would joust no more, and there the gree was given to King Bagdemagus. So either party departed unto his own place, and Sir Lancelot rode forth with King Bagdemagus unto his castle, and there he had passing good cheer both with the king and with his daughter, and they proffered him great gifts. And on the morn he took his leave, and told the king that he would go and seek his brother Sir Lionel, that went from him when that he slept. So he took his horse, and betaught them all to God. Reader's note, after the word betaught, there is a footnote, betaught, commended. Return to text. And there he said unto the king's daughter, If ye have need any time of my service, I pray you let me have knowledge, and I shall not fail you, as I am true knight. And so Sir Lancelot departed, and by adventure he came into the same forest there he was take sleeping. And in the midst of an highway he met a damsel riding on a white palfrey, and there either saluted other. Fair damsel, said Sir Lancelot, know ye in this country any adventures? Sir knight, said the damsel, here are adventures near hand, and thou durst prove them. Why should I not prove adventures, said Sir Lancelot, for that cause come I hither. Well, said she, thou seemest well to be a good knight, and if thou dare meet with a good knight, I shall bring thee where is the best knight, and the mightiest that ever thou found, so thou wilt tell me what is thy name, and what knight thou art. Page 206. Damosel, as far as to tell thee my name, I take no great force. Truly, my name is Sir Lancelot de Lake. Sir, thou but beseemest well. Reader's note. Beseemest? Appear. Return to text. Here be adventures by that fallen for thee, and hereby dwelleth a knight that will not be overmatched for no man I know but ye overmatch him, and his name is Sir Turquine. And as I understand, he hath in his prison of Arthur's court good knights 84 that he hath won with his own hands. But when ye have done that journey, ye shall promise me, as ye are a true knight, for to go with me, and to help me in other damosels that are distressed daily with a false knight. All your intent, damosel, and desire I will fulfill, so ye will bring me unto this knight. Now, fair knight, come on your way. And so she brought him unto the ford and the tree where hung the basin. So Sir Lancelot let his horse drink, and sithen he beat on the basin with the butt of his spear so hard with all his might till the bottom fell out, and long he did so, but he saw nothing. Then he rode endlong the gates of that manor nigh half an hour. Reader's note, there's a footnote after the word endlong. Endlong, along. Return to text. And then was he ware of a great knight that drove an horse afore him, and overthwart the horse there lay an armed knight bounden. And ever as they came near and near, Sir Lancelot thought he should know him. Then Sir Lancelot was aware that it was Sir Gaheris, Gawain's brother, a knight of the Table Round. Now, fair damsel, said Sir Lancelot, I see yonder cometh a knight fast bounden that is a fellow of mine, and brother he is unto Sir Gawain. And at the first beginning I promise you, by the leave of God, to rescue that knight. But if his master sit better in the saddle, I shall deliver all the prisoners that he hath out of danger, for I am sure he hath two brethren of mine prisoners with him. By that time that either had seen other, they gripped their spears unto them. Now, fair knight, said Sir Lancelot, put that wounded knight off the horse, and let him rest a while, and let us two prove our strengths. For as it is informed me, thou doest and hast done great despite and shame unto knights of the Round Table, and therefore now defend thee. And thou be of the Table Round, said Turquine. I defy thee and all thy fellowship. That is overmuch said, said Sir Lancelot. Page 207. Chapter 8. How Sir Lancelot and Sir Turquine fought together. And then they put their spears in the rests, and came together with their horses as fast as they might run, and either smote other in midst of their shields, that both their horses' backs brassed under them, and the knights were both astonied, and as soon as they might avoid their horses, they took their shields afore them, and drew out their swords, and came together eagerly, and either gave other many strong strokes, for there might neither shields nor harness hold their strokes. And so within a while they had both grimly wounds, and bled passing grievously. Thus they fared 2 hours or more, tracing and raising either where they might hit any bare place. Reader's note. There are footnotes after the word tracing and raising. Tracing, pursuing. Raising, slashing. Return to text. Then at the last they were breathless both, and stood leaning on their swords. Now, fellow, said Sir Turquine, Hold thy hand a while, and tell me what I shall ask thee. Say on. Then Turquine